Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one of them tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right. Well, Dan, I am happy to report that I rebounded yesterday on FanDuel. I racked up 167.3 points. Nowhere close to good enough to winning. I actually was off by about, I think it ended up being 37 or 38 points. But after the dismal couple of days I had, I was happy to bounce back like that. I made the right pitching choice going with Severino. He was a 56-pointer. Sadly, I picked the day Joey Gallo didn't homer to use him, and Todd Frazier got me a big goose egg, so that was pretty much my downfall. But did you win any money yesterday?
No, I was almost dead in the middle.
So yeah, it was nice to finish towards the top for a change, but I would like to at least win a dollar. So, but we will see. We will load it up and we will try again. And boy, Dan, I decided to spend all my money on Max Scherzer, so I am all in at pitcher today with $11,500 on the two-eyed devil here. So I need a big outing out of him. Right away, of course, that puts me in money conservation mode. So at catcher, I'm going with Max Stassi of the Astros. He's hitting eighth tonight. He only cost me $2,000. First base, it's time to play Mike Napoli. We'll have the party at Napoli's. He cost me $2,900. He's hitting seventh for the Rangers tonight. Jumping on the Dodger bandwagon again, I got a couple of those guys. The first one is Logan Forsythe hitting eighth, playing second base, cost me $3,200. Third base, I'm going with Evan Longoria. He's hitting second for the Rays, and I found him down at $2,600. It's to the point with that kind of price tag, he's just too good a player to pass up on. Shortstop, I had quite the quandary, but I settled on Dansby Swanson. I had decent luck with him the last time I used him. I know basically he's been a bust as a number one pick, but he's still a young kid. He's hitting eighth playing shortstop for the Braves. Cost me $2,200. I managed to reserve a tad bit of money for the outfield, so I racked up Justin Upton at $3,800, hitting third for the Tigers. I know he's been on a hot streak. I plugged in another Ranger. Nomar Mazara is hitting fifth for them tonight. He cost me $3,800. And then I wrapped up my outfield with Yasiel Puig hitting sixth for the Dodgers. Cost me $3,000. So, again, I've got Max Scherzer pitching, Max Stassi catching, Mike Napoli at first, Logan Forsythe at second, Evan Longoria at third, Dansby Swanson at short, and the outfield is Justin Upton, Nomar Mazara, and Yasiel Puig. Tonight we are doing the 605 again. It's the free roll, the toughest ticket contest presented by Ford. So you got just a shade over 25 minutes to get your lineup in. Who did you end up with? I know you put your lineup together. You got it there for us? Besides the fact I think Puig is going to have an offer because we both...
I was going to get to that part. But I tried to save a lot of money. And, I looked at his numbers. He seems to pitch pretty well at home in Colorado. And it's Herman Marquez, or for the English-speaking German Marquez. But with that savior on money, I took a van cleanup for New York with Drew Pomeranz on the mound. I'm hoping tonight is a big night for Gary Sanchez. And then Freddie Freeman at first base. The only pick I don't like of all the picks I made was at second base, and I just couldn't really find anyone better. But I went with Rugnit Odor, third base with Justin Turner, so I thought that was the guy we were going to have the same. Shortstop with Jordan Montgomery, both pitchers on both sides of this Yankees-Red Sox game. I think I've got to give up the hit. So hopefully Xander Bogaerts plays on the up and ups. Like you said, we both have Puig. I'm trying to roll the dice again with George Springer, and then I'm rounding it off in the somewhat cleanup spot of JD Martinez.
All right, well, we'll have to see how that goes. You know, I'm always fearful when I, you know, have to spend a lot of money on a pitcher, but I guess Scherzer's the guy here.
Mm-hmm.
You're okay spending it, right? You know, that's the way it kind of works out.
As long as he doesn't have a foot injury.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as not one of those things where hurts his neck again in two innings, but we did have one early game here really quick. The Cubs did end up beating the Blue Jays. Their bullpen made it kind of interesting, but they ended up winning 7-4. Jake Arrieta picked up the win. Wade Davis got the save, and J.A. Hop took the loss. So if you're in an all-day league, hopefully you racked up some of those guys, I believe. I know Javier Baez homered. I don't know if the Cubs put up too many more. So, yeah, you could have picked up some pretty solid FanDuel points. You know, if you went with Arrieta, he had a solid outing. He went like 6 1/3, so he managed just enough to get that quality start. So that was a big plus there. Hopefully it works out for you and you win some money. That would be nice. Because it hasn't happened for me, but damn it, I'm getting close there. One of these days I'm going to get a free roll win, Dan, or at least a place. Win would be difficult because you need almost 300 points, bro.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was just like, oh, boy. And then I had the funny thing that I know you will completely understand. I went in today and I always try to double check my Yahoo lineup when I get home from work because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to miss anything, or I want to make sure I get my starting pitchers in because we have a decent innings amount to make. You know, you got to get 34 1/3, I think it is. So it takes a little bit to get in there, and you don't want to miss any starts. And I needed to make some changes anyways because Chris Tillman got moved to the bullpen, and I don't need to carry him after taking a chance on him. So I went in and I checked my team in our snake league, you know, just the regular draft league. And I had another guy added to the DL. So I now have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys on the DL. I have a guy on the NA list and 2 guys who are day to day. Excuse me. I had another guy added to the DL, so I now have 6 guys on the disabled list. And we only have 3 spots. So it's going to be interesting to juggle that lineup and see what I can work out with it until somebody manages to return, possibly. You know, hopefully my day-to-day guys aren't out for too long and they legitimately will just be day-to-day. I knew you'd get a kick out of that. When I saw that this morning, I said, oh, I can't wait to tell Dan this one. So, yeah, that's what I'm dealing with in the Snake League. I am somehow managing to hang on to a lead in my game. I don't know how that's working out, but so far so good. I hope I can string out the weekend and what happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was running through and I've been going day to day looking at available pitchers in the snake league, because with three guys on the DL, another guy on the DL, we don't have enough spots. We'll have to adjust it next year because of this 10-day thing. But you know, I actually have four spots available, and that I was going to bring it up to you the other day. I couldn't find when he was dropped by whoever had him, but in the snake league, I was able to find Tony Watson just hanging out. I know he had, like, you know, a bad game, but whoever had him must have just figured, since he wasn't closing anymore, he wasn't necessary. So I picked him back up on my team. So now I'm back to the old days where I have Tony Watson on both my teams. So I was excited about that. So it's the little things in life, right, Big Jack? But I think that was true. And one of the pitchers I picked up for both leagues that I really wanted to take a risk on, and we'll see how it goes this weekend, but was Andrew Haney. You know, he's has one star for tonight, so it's not looking like he doesn't look like a guy that people are going to put a whole lot of into, especially coming back off the 60-day DL from Tommy John. But, you know, he put up some solid numbers, over 20, almost 30 innings of rehab. And I thought maybe, you know, hey, what the hell? 29 strikeouts, 5 walks, and 27 innings. So I figured maybe he can get 6 strikeouts, 7 strikeouts.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I almost used him on FanDuel tonight. I looked at him as a possible pitcher option, but I was just concerned, you know, the first start back, I wasn't sure if he would go enough innings. You know, because I would really like to get a, you know, a guy who's going to get me a win and a quality start. And I'm assuming, you know, there's a pitch count and all that stuff that comes with a guy who's returning from injury. So I figured I would wait a little bit and just see how he does.
Well, and Mike,
but yeah, he's a guy. Oh,
no, go ahead with that, and then I'll go back.
No, I just said he's a guy I've always liked. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I figured he was pitching today. I checked the waiver wire. He was available. So I said, what the heck? I could take a risk on him if it doesn't work out. You know, one of the guys on my DL is King Felix, which that's, I think, what's going to be on the back of his shirt or jersey next weekend. I also picked up Chad Bettis in the Snake League. That was another one I picked up. He's supposed to start, I think, tomorrow or Sunday. But hopefully Felix Hernandez is back next week. Andrew Haney doesn't work out. Adios, senor. But like you said, with so many guys on the DL, I have Tanaka and Cece, who are basically back-to-back guys. not to mention Michael Brantley and Yunel Escobar. They both have been on the 10-day. I think Yunel's been on the 10-day for like the last month. But it's rough because we're not at that point where, you know, these guys can come back just in time for the playoffs. And the guys that I have, I don't want to drop, because who knows, you know, that week will be the week that the team I'm up against picks them up, because I dropped them in the playoffs, if I make the playoffs, and then I lose because of that, you know. So I think that's one of the hard things with holding some of the guys on. Do you kind of feel the same way with your DL spot?
Yeah, you know, I keep trying to decide, you know, do I need to hold these guys? And, you know, when you get all those guys on the DL, you know, you've got to make those kind of decisions. It's just kind of like, ah, crap, can I keep holding these guys? Can I hang on a little longer? You know, do I really need them? And, like, luckily in the auction league, I had a bunch of DL guys, but I get Steven Strasburg comes back tomorrow to make a start, and Kyle Barraclough I can put back in my bullpen because they took him off the DL. So I was able to open up a couple spots there. Naturally, I had guys waiting to go on the DL, so it wasn't really difficult to fill. You know, I just kind of swapped some guys out. And yeah, next year I definitely think we're going to go to 5 for the DL and try it that way, because they – you know, they're not shy about putting guys on. I know you know, just today, the Cubs threw John Lester on it. So I actually have to go in and put him in my DL. You know, I know the Cardinals threw Adam Wainwright on it earlier in the week. A day or two ago, they put Trevor Rosenthal on it. Luckily, if you're an Andrew Miller owner, he came off the DL today. But yeah, it just seems like there is just a ton of DL movement with this new, you know, this new 10-day deal. They have no problems. Oh, it says here the Cubs also put Justin Grimm on the 10-day DL. I'm guessing nobody, you know, owns him. But, you know, good news for you, Dan, is Adrian Gonzalez came back. Are you still carrying him?
No, I ended up dropping him off a few weeks
ago. Oh. So, yeah,
well,
you know but,
I had to. I had to, and, you know, like you said, I don't know what happened or why it rounded out this way, but this is in both leagues. I have a hell of a lot more pitching than I really need, I think. But, you know, that's actually been kind of keeping me afloat. Not to say that, you know, it's the pitching that wins everything, but at the same token, you know, you can have the greatest nine batters for an entire week, and a guy like Kyle Schwarber can just have a crap week, and just because he does, that can ruin all your stats. So I'm wrong. He can have a completely crap week, but you know, you can still have a pretty solid way our offense is set up. You can still have a pretty solid week with one of your big guys having kind of a crappy week. But it seems like to me with pitching, you know, if the guy you're going up against doesn't have as many pitchers of you as you and makes his inning and only, you know, goes get two wins and a one loss, but you get three wins and you have like seven losses, it really doesn't matter, you know, because you're not getting the amount of losses you're getting. I mean, either way, you lose that category. But I find, you know, I've been really kind of taking it over with the strikeouts, you know, the win percentage and factors like that. I mean, I'm actually holding my own against the number one team in the auction league this week. I need more strikeouts. He's got more than I do. But, you know, I was kind of surprised because I thought I was just going to get demolished. But just to kind of give you an idea of how many pitchers I got, and I want to know how many you have. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, and two of my starting pitchers are on the DL. Is that a little excessive?
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, the four relief pitchers I have.
I carried quite a bit of starters in, I think it ended up being the auction league. Let me pull them up here, and I can tell you I was I don't know why I just kind of ended up with, you know, one of those weird situations. You know, I always fill up my relief spots, so I always have a bunch of relievers. That's nothing new for me. But starters this year I have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have eight starters with two on the DL. So, I don't have any real issues, you know, never have any issue carrying, carrying guys. And then over in the auction league here, let me see what I'm carrying here. It's gotta be relatively close. What do we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, no, it looks like I'm only carrying six here. Yeah, I'm only carrying six, but nobody's on the DL, so that's a plenum. None of my starters are on the DL. It's everybody else.
Yeah.
So. But, yeah, you know, it's always – well, you know, like, you know, with our league, it's one of those things, if you carry enough pitchers – you know, you start to win those categories because obviously it's a category league. So, you know, obviously the more pitchers, the more innings you're going to get, you know, and then theoretically you would think the more innings you would get, the more strikeouts you would get. So, you know, and you would hope for the same thing and, you know, wins. And if you load up on your bullpen, there's saves. You just got to hope it doesn't come back and bite you and, you know, you give up a bunch of runs or a bunch of homers or stuff like that. Because obviously with the extra guys, that could also easily happen. So, but yeah, it's,
yeah, well, that's,
you know, it's not a terrible idea to have lots of pitching.
But, you know, I think that's one of the nice things about the way the leagues are set up is a guy like Madison Bumgarner, or not, Justin Marja can give up 8 runs in a game, but still strike out 10 guys. And those 8 runs really didn't affect you. You might get the loss, but...
Yeah, you know, if you can rack up enough innings, you know, yeah, his one, you know, one bad start doesn't kill you. And, like, that's the difference between our league and the league Mr. Fantasy and I are in, our money league, as we always call it. If you have one bad start, you're losing all 3 of your games because we play 3 games a week. Yeah, it just takes one bad start. If you get one guy to go out and have a big-time negative start, you're beat. There's just no way around it. I mean, you know, obviously the only way you could make it up is you got a guy go out and throw a no-hitter and strike out 15 or something. But, you know, that would be a huge anomaly. So, yeah, it's incredibly difficult to make up that kind of ground. So, yeah, you're, you know, and I was trying to explain that to him this year. You know, it's really starting pitching that wins, and we had Kershaw and Greinke. So we were doing well until Kershaw got hurt. And, you know, we're just hoping we can hang on until he gets back.
Yeah, and I just discovered CC Sabathia is actually making a start tomorrow. So one guy off.
Yeah, well, I know I read Tanaka. They said Tanaka would come back against Detroit. So I think that's after this weekend. So... you know, we'll have to see how that works out for you. But yeah, maybe you'll get lucky and you get both your guys back. You know, you get both your guys back here.
Yeah, that means awesome. I'm getting rid of some of my excessive pitch. Well, actually, I don't have enough spots on the DL, so they're not even on the DL.
I always get that. I hate when I do that and I go to pick up a guy and they're like, well, you have a guy on a disabled list who's eligible. Like, oh, damn it, who came off? Like, you know, what did I miss? So, and I was like, how the heck did I blow that one? Let's see who's hanging around there that I forgot about. So that's always fun to, you know, they're like, yeah, hey, you're an idiot. You forgot to take this guy off the DL. Oh, hey, thanks. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. But, you know, hopefully, you know, I know right now I'm in a pretty good, pretty decent spot. I think both my teams are in the playoffs, and I finally got out of that spot where I was hanging around the 8th and 9th area. I actually moved up. I know I'm 6th in one league, and I think I might be 7th in the other. So I'm a tad more comfortable as long as I don't go out and have a tanked week. You know, well, I should be okay.
It's funny, though, because you're in the Bush League, and you're 6th overall in the league, but 4th in your division. There's only 5 teams in each division. And it's just crazy because where you sit, you have a pretty solid record compared to my division and the other division, but you're still 27 games out of first place.
Yeah, well, you know, and I mean, you know, the strategy, you just need to, all you need to do is get in. You know, once you're in the playoffs, it's a whole new ball away. We know that. So.
And I'm holding on to the 8th spot just because I'm the leader of the worst division in the state league. I have the bottom three, who obviously are not coming back next year, 18, 19, and 20.
Yeah.
You know, the 18th guy is 108 games out of first. So, I mean, obviously that's for next year stuff, but pretty interesting. Because like you said, I did watch you kind of sitting around just below 9 and 10. I think last week you had a pretty good week and it brought you up pretty high. I, on the other hand, had not even a bad week, a 500 week. And in the snake league, or the auction league, and it dropped me from 7th place, which, that's because you had a good week last week, you jerk. It kicked me down to 9th place. You know, with Mr. Fantasy and Ace.
So, yeah, well, you know, at least he's managing to, looks like he's actually going to play the season, so we've got that going for us.
Yeah, which was funny, though, because in week 17, and this is where it kind of irritated me, in week 17, I went up against Mr. Fantasy and demolished him. I almost had a clean sweep, 22-2. And then, you know, week 18, he, let me see, where do we go? It looks like, you know, I ended up winning my game 14-11. But that's where, like I said, you had the awesome week last week of 28-2. I wasn't too happy with you. I think the guy you were up against probably didn't make his innings.
Oh.
And then Mr. Fantasy.
Yeah, he's probably a dead team.
Mr. Fantasy went up against Double J, who, I mean, we should just adios him next year. But he had a 25-4 week. The two of you had two solidly great weeks that. We have we have 3 weeks. 3 weeks for this season to be over. And I'm hoping I grab that 8th spot.
Yeah, well, you know, the way we'll do it is, you know, next year when we come around, I'll just, you know, teams 15 through 20 are gone. And, you know, we'll start over, you know, with those 5 open spots and hopefully – in a, you know, whatever the rotation works out, we'll finally get a league where I doubt we'll ever get a year where all 20 teams play the entire season. But, you know, it would be great if we could get to 17 or 18 and only have a couple of dead teams. You know, and like even this year seems a little better than last year. We seem like we have a little more activity.
The one anomaly, though, is you know, really close to the draft, you reached out on Facebook and got one of your Facebook friends. I don't think I'm friends with him, but who you said seemed like he was excited to play. I don't think he did the draft, and I don't think he changed his lineup the entire season.
Yeah, you know, it happens. Well, you know, I had what was his name? Jake, the guy we used to have as the ring announcer. He did that in football season or two ago. I posted it on Facebook. He joined right away. He was really excited. He did the draft and never changed his lineup after that. And it was just kind of like, oh, okay. So, like, dude, you're not coming back next year. Sorry. So, yeah, it's weird how, you know, you get people to sign up and they seem like, hey, okay, yeah, cool. I really want to do it. When's this, when's that? And, you know, some guys, it does seem though, if a guy doesn't make the draft, we do lose him. Very few guys that don't make the draft stick around. That's always tough. We do have, you know, Mr. Fantasy's brother never stays for the whole draft, but he actually does go in and rank his guys. So that's, always kind of interesting.
Yeah, he kind of irritates me that he does pretty well for not being here.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned Double J. You know, he always seems to pop in and out of the drafts. But, yeah, as of late, I know I gave him one more chance in football this year because he didn't change his lineup last year. And, you know, like you said, I didn't even look to see who the bottom teams were. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see, you know, if he ends up in those bottom five, you know, it's definitely time for him to go. He, you know, he obviously doesn't have the interest anymore, but you know, that happens. He's married with a kid now. And, you know, I know if you look at his Facebook page, he's a big time runner, all of us after, which is odd because if you knew him when we knew him, he didn't look like a runner, but hey, you know, things change.
He's still buzzing.
You know, you look at Mr. Fantasy, who looks like a, but probably couldn't if you had to. So, you know.
The joys of fantasy.
You know, sooner or later we'll shuffle it out and we'll be okay, and you know, things will hopefully start to go our way. But it's always difficult.
Yeah, and I think I might try my life a little nuts next year. Because, I mean, the consensus within the league that we have, no one really wants to pay to play. So I was thinking maybe I can start a third one. But I don't know. I have to think about it some more. Just for baseball and football.
I think if you go that route, you would probably have to make them smaller. I don't know, you know, could we get 20 guys to play in a league, or, you know, I mean, I guess if you're paying to play, you're going to change your lineup.
Yeah.
Or at least you would think you would.
That's something I think you, Mr. Fantasy, and I can discuss. Because even if we, like with our two leagues, if we did the auction league, maybe the pay-to-play one. Because I don't know, you know, I know it's fantasy, it's not real, but I think adding the silly trophy would be kind of a cool thing. You know, and I was amazed at how many guys are like, oh, I don't want to pay $5. I'm like, you know, real money leagues are like hundreds of dollars. I'm talking about $5, dude.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, some guys, you know, it's literally just for fun. You know, that's the only reason they're doing it. And, you know, even though, you know, $5 doesn't seem like a lot, you know, it's just something, you know, they're not interested in doing. They're just here to have, you know, have some fun with it. And, you know, if they win, great. If they lose, that happens. And if they forget to change their lineup, it didn't cost them anything. So
yeah,
you know, which does happen, you know, from time to time. We've all had that issue where you forget to, you know, bang that new lineup up and you're like, ah, crap. So, you know,
fortunately for me this season, the times I forgot to start my pitchers, they lost.
So yeah, I've been pretty lucky this year. I think I've missed just one start, and it was a guy I didn't know they were bringing off the DL to start. So it ended up not costing me anything. But yeah, it's, you know, it's definitely difficult to do. I mean, people are just kind of like, you know, it's not a Ronco rotisserie. You just can't set it and forget it. You know, it's one of those things you have to be vigilant with. And I mean, if there's a rain out, you know, you've got to jump in and, you know, find out when that pitcher's making that start. You know, are they skipping him? Are they just pushing him back? So, you know, it's definitely a, you know, really a daily thing. I mean, I know it's a weekly point, you know, a weekly scored league, but it can be, you know, definitely a daily grind in some cases. So you have to really, you know, enjoy it to do it. So, but you know, like I said, hopefully, you know, I can't remember the last time I won baseball. I need to win one of the leagues this year. So
I've gotten in second and third place.
Yeah.
I haven't got the big trophy though.
Yeah, well then I must be due to win then if you've been in second and third place. So definitely, you know, definitely must be my year to win. So I will take that. I hope everybody appreciates that, and we'll see how it goes. You know, especially if I can just get in the damn playoffs. I'm trying. I think I missed the playoffs last year too.
Well, at least you weren't the guy bragging about being on your way to both league playoffs and then making neither one of them in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, that can happen. But I did hear, Dan, I don't know if you heard this breaking baseball news. I can't remember what show they were watching, but yes, they actually put this off as breaking news because Derek Jeter's wife had her baby.
Oh, and wait, he got married? And then he's going to be taking over the Marlins. Great, a baby and a baseball team.
Yeah, the report also said when they take over the Marlins, his salary is going to be $5 million a year for being, what is he going to be, head of baseball operations? So.
He's taking a huge pay cut, isn't he?
Yeah, actually he is, but, you know, I mean, like he needs the money, right? So, yeah, how would you like to be Derek Jeter? You know, you play your entire career with the Yankees. You're beloved by everyone because you're the Yankee shortstop. You win World Series, you date super hot women your entire career, you end up marrying a supermodel, you make hundreds of millions of dollars, you now you've got a daughter, and you've got a job that pays you $5 million a year after your career ends. Not a bad life, huh?
No, not at all. Oh, I mean, he's living the dream. I'm in Miami.
Yeah, so... And a couple quick updates here, Dan. We got a couple games that are starting under delay. The Angels at the Orioles and the Marlins at the Mets are both going to start under rain delays. I saw there was some weather moving through there. It should be almost gone in Baltimore, so that game I'm thinking will start soon. But, yeah, just to kind of – keep everybody updated there, so hopefully they will get rolling. But I meant to ask you, Dan, I forgot all about it yesterday. I'm hoping you remember to check it out, or you remember to check it out last night. But Jay Cutler made his Miami Dolphins debut.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did not see it. I believe I saw he went 3 for 6 for 24 yards, so he probably only played a couple of series. And he didn't throw any interceptions, because, you know, I know that's the first question Bear fans would want to ask. So, yeah, he was fine there, no issues. But, yeah, the Dolphins did lose 31-7, not that any of that matters in a preseason game, but yeah, so he got his got his start in, and you know, we'll have to take it from there. And there is only one game tonight, Dan. The Minnesota Vikings are actually at the Seattle Seahawks. This would probably have a lot more meaning for you and I if it wasn't preseason, but you know, I mean, it starts at 8:00. I'll probably check out a little bit of it, maybe see the starters play, and you know, then kind of move on. But you know, just kind of how it goes, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm waiting for Sunday morning or Monday morning. When you tune into Chicago radio, and you know, we hear more about how Mike Glennon should just be released.
Yeah. Actually, I heard today their new thing now is they believe the Bears should trade him. So. So yeah, I don't know how that is going to work out, but that's the thing. And I did hear, Dan, I was looking, and I found a list of what they call pick or pass. You know, players you should, you know, take a shot on, or guys you shouldn't. And this is really kind of interesting for our auction draft, because they have what are overvalued players or guys who are overpriced, and they got a couple quarterbacks leading the list, and one of them is your guy. The first one is Matt Ryan, which is kind of interesting because he had a monster year last year. Maybe that's why the numbers are up. But the second one, they say Blake Bortles is overpriced. Does Bortles seem to be the new whipping boy, Dan, or is it just me? Because it seems like everybody hates this guy.
I think he's becoming a new whipping boy. But, you know, here's the thing. I'm questioning Big Jack, and, you know, not questioning so much because we don't really do two stupid tight ends, not two quarterbacks, right?
No, we only start one quarterback, but yeah, we start two tight ends in the one league.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, I think when you start thinking about the draft, and granted, we have 20 teams, and everyone's going to need a backup. You know, those that are Blake Bortles and Jay Cutler are actually two guys I'm looking at. I mean, obviously they're not going to go early. They're not going to go until all the other quarterbacks start disappearing. So, I mean, while they may be overpriced, so to speak, they're still going to have value in our draft. I mean, in a 10-team league, there's really no value for them at all because you can have three quarterbacks by the time you get to them. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but, you know, I think you really can't overvalue them or undervalue them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously in the auction league, you can pay too much for anybody. You know, I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. I just kind of found it was interesting that, you know, this is the third or fourth negative list I've seen that Bortles is on. And, you know, my only concern with him today is I saw the Jaguars coach, Doug Marrone, actually mentioned that he's going to open up the quarterback competition. Now, I don't know who else is on their roster, you know, that could actually possibly even beat out Bortles. But, you know, it seems like, you know, he could possibly be in the doghouse on his old team. I got to look here and pull up their depth chart and see. Yeah, I mean, I would be really shocked if Chad Henne starts the year, and then the third string guy is Brandon Allen. So, you know, you can say all you want that, yeah, we're opening up the competition, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you got to realize we're talking about a receiver or a quarterback that has fantastic receivers. You know, they got Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee. You know, and then they drafted Leonard Fournette to help them. You know, you just wonder sooner or later if it clicks and he starts putting up numbers. You know, I would think he could kind of be a sneaky steal as late as you're going to be able to get him or as cheap as you're going to be able to get him in some leagues. But, you know, maybe
I'm nominating Jay Cutler first, so.
Yeah. No, I thought you were nominating Mike Glennon first.
Oh yeah, that's what I was.
Yeah, I think I'll. You know, if I nominate before you, I'll nominate Cutler, and then you can nominate Glennon. So now they add in three running backs here, and they all have kind of an interesting scenario here. They go to your favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings. They say Latavius Murray is going to be an overpriced guy. They also add in Tevin Coleman of the Falcons and then Jeremy Hill of the Bengals. Now, Murray and Hill are going to compete with draft picks that are going to take time away from them. And it seems like they're picking on the Falcon offense a little bit here. It probably won't be as good as last year, but it's still a pretty potent offense, isn't it? Wait, hang on. You went swimming there. You got to reset.
Oh, yeah. No, I looked at the
There night. You go.
I thought they'd still have a pretty solid defense. Deep offense, I'm combining both words. I think it really just depends on how solid the offensive line is to protect whatever quarterback is there. I still, you know, it's been one of those things like, you know, in Chicago, we've been sitting here waiting for a quarterback, or, well, I guess we waited for Cutler to get the coach and the team around him to be that guy. So over the last couple of years, after Trestman, we've just kind of been sitting here waiting to get the top-rated quarterback. And it seemed like if you're in Minnesota, and I think you pay attention a little bit more because I like them and we talk about them a little bit more. Plus, it's the Central. So, you know how that works. It just seems like Minnesota's been waiting for that quarterback. You know, they had Peterson for as long as that lasted. And, you know, I think they're still waiting. Remember, Christian Ponder was supposed to be the guy. And then they drafted Teddy Bridgewater, and he was supposed to be the guy. And he just keeps getting mangled.
Yeah, poor Teddy. You know, and I can understand concerns with these, you know, all three of these running backs. So this, you know, this makes a little more sense than the quarterback picks to me. Then they jump on. It looks like they have a number of receivers here. They start with Kenny Stills of the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill of the Chiefs, Davante Adams of the Packers, and then Tyrell Williams of the Chargers as all their overrated guys. And I assume Stills gets a downgrade because of Cutler. And Stills is really a true home run hitter. So you wouldn't be looking to pick up Stills as a number one. I think Hill you're only interested in is if your team scores special teams like ours do. You know, that makes him a little more valuable. I don't know why Davante Adams is on this list, because Rodgers is going to throw him the ball. Obviously, you would probably want Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb before him, but he's still a quality guy. And, yeah, I don't know, Tyrell Williams, you know, if the Chargers are healthy, he's not a factor. If they continue to get hurt like they do, he kind of works in. But it's just kind of the variances on leagues. But I don't know a lot of these guys why you would be – I don't know why you'd be paying a lot for any of these four guys anyways. So I'm not sure if I would consider them overvalued.
You got to have got to meet your deadline.
Yeah, you know. I mean, they're definitely, you know, you could have picked other guys. They're probably better guys you could have filled in. Tight end-wise, they went with Travis Kelce. So they're really picking on the Chiefs and the Falcons offense. They mentioned Kelce had the fewest, 223 points were the fewest by a top scoring tight end over the past decade. I don't know how you're a top scoring tight end and you score the fewest points, but he managed to do it. Obviously with Alex Smith as your quarterback, you're going to be hurt, but you know, when you're looking for tight ends, I mean, there's Rob Gronkowski, Jordan Reed, if he's healthy, and then Travis Kelce. So there, you know, there's not a lot of huge
Greg
choices. Yes, Greg Olsen. God,
Greg,
I can't believe I forgot Greg Olsen. Yeah, he's probably the second tight end now. But yeah, I mean, Kelce is easily in the top five. So I don't understand.
Where do you put Bennett now that he'll be in Green Bay?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting, because you know, I really liked when they got Jared Cook last year in Green Bay, but you know, you run into the problem is, you know, there's one football and so many talented receivers, so you kind of wonder where he fits in the pecking order. You know, I mean, is he the third option, the fourth option, you know, maybe even the fifth option behind Ty Montgomery as the main running back now? So he's probably one of the toughest tight ends to rank. You know, it could be a situation where, kind of like I think it was that first or second year with the Bears, where he's just a monster and he's the biggest surprise at tight end we have. Or, you know, it could completely go the opposite way and, you know, he's just not getting enough targets because there's just not enough footballs to go around. So he's definitely a tough, tough call.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, too, is, you know, Green Bay is not really known for the running game. At least I really don't recognize him for that. You know, we went from Favre to Rodgers, and it's been kind of, you know, very smooth transition, and you kind of expect more of a passing game. So I thought maybe, I don't really know the running back that they have that you mentioned, but do you think they're going to give him some more carries this year?
You know, apparently that's the plan, is Ty Montgomery is supposed to be the number one guy, which will be really interesting because obviously, you know, he made it into the league as a wide receiver, and very rarely do players switch positions like that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he can handle, can handle the wear and tear as a full-time running back. I mean, I'm sure they'll spell him. They'll probably carry other guys on the roster that will be able to spell him. But yeah, he's definitely one of those interesting, you know, another one of those interesting guys. There's a lot of guys that kind of, you know, just pop up and you're like, okay, well, how's this actually going to go? But, you know, even like the guys behind Montgomery, I don't know a lot about. The second guy is Jamal Williams, and the third stringer is Aaron Jones. Now, they do still have Aaron Ripkowski at fullback, and he got some carries last year as a that single back formation. So maybe they work it like that, but it's something to keep an eye on there because they got, you know, obviously it's a ton of offensive weapons. You know, they're a fantasy gold mine for players. It's just finding the right one. Now, we also have a list here, Dan, of guys that are going to bounce back. These are the guys they're predicting they're going to make a comeback. And the first guy here, you had him last year. They have two quarterbacks listed. The first one is Russell Wilson. And the second one is Cam Newton. Now, you dealt with Wilson and that ankle injury most of the year, kind of, in a way, yeah, submarined your season because you just didn't know what the hell you were going to get out of him. Are you willing, you know, depending obviously on the price, if he's hanging around, are you buying Russell this year, or did last year kind of scare you off?
Last year kind of scared me off, but you know how that works. You stay away and they do great. You know, not to give away, but I forgot the situation in Oakland, but I kind of like what's going on there. But I think this year, hopefully I don't panic and just take Russell Wilson mostly. That's what I did last year. I was like, oh, I need a quarterback to take Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you know, I have my sleeper quarterback. I'm really hoping somewhere down the line I land Philip Rivers. I really think he's going to be the big under the radar guy this year because they really added to that offense. I'm just hoping I'm the only one who actually believes that and it kind of works out for me. Now, you know, Cam Newton, I guess the question is, you know, is that shoulder healthy, right? That seems to be the big major question with him.
Pretty much.
Now, interesting.
As long as he doesn't have new stupid dance.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he'll have one of those. They list three running backs here. Right off the bat, they go to Adrian Peterson. You know, he's 32. He's now in New Orleans, which, of course, is a team that throws the football more than anything. You know, they have Mark Ingram there still, who had a pretty solid year last year for them. Do you see Peterson getting enough touches on a team like this to be a number one running back, you know, that guy you count on every week to put up numbers?
I don't know. I mean, I really wasn't buying it last year. I think he's still going to be a good, solid running back for your team. But same token, I think he peaked.
Yeah, well, he is 32, so that's old for a running back. And obviously he's had a couple knee injuries. You know, I mean, it's tough, but, then the second guy here they have is Todd Gurley. The Rams I was all in on Gurley last year. I thought, man, he was going to have a breakout year, and he flat out, he just stunk. He scored 6 touchdowns. He averaged 3.1 yards a carry. Just horrible. I have you seen or heard or read anything on the Rams doing enough to improve, you know, and make him viable?
What team was he? Was he from Carolina?
No, he's on the Rams.
Rams.
Los Angeles now. They're still in Los Angeles.
But if I live in St. Louis, do I still get my option to buy my season tickets?
I don't know if they settled.
That's another team.
Ask the Raiders.
I don't remember. I don't know. I mean, that team's kind of an anomaly because you've got the quarterback who's supposed to be the man, but I don't really know that they have, you know, the weapons for that. And, you know, again, it all depends on the line, the O-line, and if they can not only protect the quarterback, but open the holes for a running back.
Well, does adding your guy Sammy Watkins help the running game? Does he, you know, does he pose enough of a threat to open up some holes for Gurley?
I think he can. I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I like him more than the kid from the Giants, the funny hair. On the one hand,
Odell.
I know everyone needs to.
Odell Beckham.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just something about him that.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Their third pick here. They think Doug Martin will have a bounce back year. Now, the interesting thing about Martin is if you pick him, he suspended the first 3 games of the year. So, you know, to me, obviously it's not 6 like Ezekiel Elliott, but it's still 3 games you gotta do without a running back. 2 years ago, he did have a 1,400-yard season. Do you, you know, how do you feel about him? Because I think 2 years ago, I think that was under Lovie, who likes to run the football a little more than this new guy does. Are you a Doug Martin guy, or does that 3-game suspension kind of downgrade him for you?
No, 3 games isn't bad. I mean, he's definitely one you want to look at because, I mean, granted, in Yahoo, there's no suspended slot, and you can't even put him in an NA spot. So you're just kind of sitting there with him. But, I mean, you know, what are we, 17 weeks, 18? Forget, how does it work for fantasy? But I think you really make up your ground towards the end of the season, so – I don't think holding out on him for three weeks isn't a bad thing.
So, yeah, and then since we're up against the clock here, I'll give you just the rest of the list here. Wide receiver, their bounce-back guys are Keenan Allen of the now Los Angeles Chargers, Allen Robinson of the Jaguars, DeAndre Hopkins of the Texans, John Brown of the Arizona Cardinals, and then their bounce-back tight end is Tyler Eifert of the Bengals. Of course, a couple miss a lot of time with injury, so all they really have to do is stay healthy to bounce back. But all right, it's time for Dan and I to start our weekend. My weekend ends before Dan. I will be here at 10 a.m. with fantasy. Do a couple hours of Sports Time Radio then. But you know the deal while we're gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Get the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. The Twitter feed is Sports Time Radio. I'm Dan and I down on Twitter as well. We appreciate that. As always, a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget, you can podcast anytime you want at scoopthekin.com.
Radio.com.